World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So, Jonathan, not that it matters, but I didn't hear the theme music come through here. Doesn't matter. Maybe make sure we're all patched up okay. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. I wasn't going to do a show today because it's, I'm going to catch my breath here a little bit. But glad you all got up and joined us here this morning, the day after Thanksgiving. We're going to take communion here in a second. And we had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. Let me stop before I get too far ahead of myself here. I cannot believe and the kind things that you guys said about my wife being on the show. I just want you to know that it just really blessed us because it was kind of I'm thinking that's kind of cheesy to bring my wife down there and do all that kind of stuff. But boy, those of you who emailed, some is amazing. She's like nobody else in the whole world. She is. And how she could be married to me in my volatile, I'm not really volatile. I'm just loud sometimes. And she's just the sweetest little thing. And so I just thank all of you out there for honoring her. Because, man, what's that old song? She's a wing underneath my wings. She really is. And this Pass the Salt Ministries is a joint venture, man. It's a joint venture. And it's the way two is supposed to become one. And we are yin and yang. But, again, I just appreciate the kind things everybody out there said about her. We are going to take communion here in a second. Get that up and ready to go. I want to throw this out there before you do, because here's kind of our theme this morning. And by the way, again, thanks all of you for getting up. Don't you guys know how to sleep in? I mean, come on. Here's my theme, and I posted it on Facebook today. You know, I pulled it up, Johnny. It's okay. Yeah, maybe you can pull up number two real quick, because this is going to be the theme. We're going to take the communion, and then we're going to come back to it. Okay, folks, ask any builder. Reconstruction is harder than new construction. Do you hear that? You have to tear down before you can rebuild.
Boom.
Anybody do any remodeling out there? Anybody do that? Right, you know what that's like, right? You got to clear this out and 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 get all that junk out of there. And then you can start to rebuild. That's where we are. That's where we are. And we're really in it. We're, as I said the other day, we're in the crucible. We don't know how this thing's going to come out yet. We still don't know how. And part of the problem, not part of the problem, but there are so many people on our side who are convinced it's just going to get worse and we're going to get out of here. And I'm not here to take a position on that. But friends, let me tell you something. If you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. We have so many believers in Christ, true, God-fearing believers who love the Lord with all their heart, who don't think we can win. Would anybody out there agree with me? They don't think we can win. And if I had them on my football team, they wouldn't be on the field. They'd be back being a water boy. We are in right now the crucible. It is right now happening in front of us. I got some great stuff I'm going to show you. But remember this, the theme is reconstruction is harder than new construction. And think about this. Think what America must have been like after the Civil War. In fact, didn't they call that reconstruction? Wasn't that period after the Civil War called reconstruction? Because everything had been so destroyed. And what's happened in the United States of America? The communists have been in control for how long, Dr. Paul? How long have the communists been in control of America? We didn't know that they were communists. We didn't call them communists. But how long have they been in control? Hey, Dr. Paul, how long have the communists been in charge of the American Medical Association and all that crap that's coming down? They've occupied all of these high places, right? And now we look back over our shoulder. We look back at COVID and all the restrictions and the mandates and all. And now President Trump is making other mandates. And they say, whoa, you can't make mandates. You got to follow. Well, hell, that went out the window when they were in charge, didn't it? So understand this. I'm telling you, friends, we better get on that Trump horse and ride that Trump horse. And I'm like everybody else. I'm concerned about this dude. I am concerned about this dude. But somebody emailed me the other day. Hang on, we're going to communion. Hang on. Somebody emailed me the other day and said, how can you support that man? I said, well, I support him because he's God's man. I said, what? Yeah, the Bible says God raised one up. God raises up the leaders. He gives us the leaders, right? Come on now. Are you with me? There's nobody that becomes president of the United States without the approval of God. Now, wait a minute, not the endorsement of God, but the approval of God. And as an old football coach, I know this. I often knew what our team needed, and it wasn't always what they wanted. You guys, Ray, you swimming along with me here, Ray? Huh? And the job of when they fire a new football coach, think about all the football, those of you who follow football. Right now is fire football season at college in particular. And look at all the football jobs that are open. And why? Because they need some reconstruction. The team isn't performing the way they expect it to. So they need somebody to come in and what's the word? Rebuild the program. Rebuild the program. And so the guy's going to come in to rebuild the program. First thing he's going to have to do, he's going to have to carry some trash out. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times the trash he has to carry out is the deeply entrenched heart of the organization. Ray, give me a thumbs up on that one. See, that's what we're dealing with, right? And they don't like the fact that I posted this. Scroll down, Spencer. I'm sorry, Jonathan. Going down next meme. I'll do these every once in a while when I feel it. Going down. We're going to communion, huh? No, that's a good one too. But going down. Mercy. No mercy. Pam, how about this? Pam Bondi is beautiful. But this is not a beauty contest. We need a prick as Attorney General. Would anybody agree with that? It's time for a prick, huh? We need a prick because we're at war. And reconstruction is different than new construction. And we're in the midst of tearing that. That's sorry, I had to get that out. That's the theme of the show today. So I'm gonna take a real deep breath. And I'm gonna let Joe come in and lead us in communion. Joe, again, appreciate you getting up so early out there, and we appreciate it, buddy. Come on in. Hey, Joe, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good rant right there, wasn't it? Huh? We're in the middle of reconstruction. How many of you folks out there have had to reconstruct your life from maybe a divorce, death of a child, death of a spouse, loss of a job? It ain't easy, dudes. It ain't easy. And we are in national reconstruction, and we still don't know whether it's going. We don't know if it's going to work or not. We really don't know. That's a Susie Wiles. Oh, I don't get me going on that. I'll shut up. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I think you're definitely right, Coach. But we have God on our side, and that makes a huge difference, I think.
In fact, he sets one up and brings one down, doesn't he, Joe? So we have to understand this. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord, called according to his purpose. And rather than us spending all of our time analyzing what God's doing, we'd be better off if we just trusted him. Trust but verify. That's the way I see it. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
Yeah, my whole life has been a redo in the last 4 or 5 years, and started a new career and moved, changed continents at 65, and basically start over. So it's but
okay, Joe. Let me say this real quickly because I had two people say to me, "This is going to tie together. Stay with me." People said, Coach, why wouldn't you let your wife talk? Why did you keep interrupting your wife? Now, hang on. Look, this is so important. This is so important. Are you guys looking at me? I don't care what the issue is. Not everybody knows what you know. And not everybody understands what you understand. So sometimes I interrupt. It's my teaching background. Sometimes I interrupt for those kids in the back of the room who don't get it. So I try to explain to them again what it is being said. Are you with me? So this is the same. Context is everything. Context. It's easy for us to say what we would do, but context is everything. You don't treat your children the same way you treat the neighbor's children, right? Context is everything. And that's why I made my wife come down and look at my office, because I told her the kids have been messing around down here in my studio, and she didn't believe me because she's a good little grandma, loves them. And then I brought her down here. Now, trust but verify. She says, what's going on, right? So that's why sometimes I will interrupt and explain for the people in the back of the room what's going on. Because why? A lot of people have only been here a couple weeks, month. They don't have context, okay? So I don't interrupt to be rude, although I say I interrupt for a living. I don't interrupt to be rude. I interrupt to teach, okay? So give me some slack on that. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, yeah. Morning, everybody. The reading this morning, I think it's Hebrews 10, 18. Yeah, Hebrews 10, 8 to 18. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second.
Well, that's reconstruction right in front of us right there, Joe.
Yep. Yep, you're right. By the which will we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins.
Amen, brother.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God.
He did his job and then he sat down. He's done.
From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
So Jesus is sitting up there in his easy chair. You guys, I have one of those. You guys have one of those recliners? He's sitting up there in his recliners and he's setting his feet, resting his feet on his enemies. That's the picture I see.
For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.
Unless you go to public schools, then they won't let you put the law in their hearts or write them. Are you with me? See what's going on? See the spiritual battle? Go ahead, Joe.
And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin.
Wow. Once and for all. Once and for all. He sat down. It's done. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, he doesn't remember it anymore. Now, he ain't like us. He remembers, but it's not there. He ignores it. That's what he means, but he doesn't remember it anymore. It's in the records, right? He knows. He knows. Sorry, jokes for the kids in the back.
No. These are thought-provoking, and you could probably have a month long, you know, every Friday a sermon on it for a month.
Yep.
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again, especially today, with gratitude in our hearts for all you've been doing for us, for all you've done, because yesterday was our Thanksgiving, Lord. And I know the whole country that participated were thankful for something, most likely the family that is often for their homes, their jobs, their health that they were enjoying another Thanksgiving together. And it's good that we do this because thanksgiving or gratitude is so important. It's a fundamental, foundational, positive part of love, I believe. Where you've taught us to love the life you've given us, and that includes being grateful for those things that are in our lives. And we also need to learn to be grateful for the challenges we overcome, or the challenges we're in the midst of, and that's hard to do, Lord. But we're taught that we need to be grateful in those times for that also. So please let us step back and accept the things that we don't like in our lives. We don't have to want them to be there permanently if it's not meant to. But to be in that confrontation with things we don't like with gratitude at the same time. And then, as in Mark 11:23-24, to pray for the results that we want, to see them and believe them, to believe them that they're going to happen as we're praying. And then in verse 25, most never go to that next verse, we're taught we have to have forgiveness in our heart too, against all who have wronged us. And that probably includes forgiving ourselves, and especially includes forgiving our family and friends. So as we're in Thanksgiving, let us also be in forgiveness. And I'm think again of Tina Peters, Lord. You've heard our prayers. Continue to be with the Gold Star Mom, and let her freedom be soon so she can really thank you, Lord, and have real Thanksgiving. And we are in a reconstruction, as Coach said. But this isn't a typical reconstruction, God. I see your handiwork behind everything that's in motion. And I believe that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, or is in the process of being shaken now. And this probably also includes parts of the earth and everything else. So we ask that your hand be in this. We ask that you give it to supernatural quickness and quickening and results. And we also ask in this reconstruction that you show what went wrong before, that be transparent what went wrong before, so we can learn from our mistakes and rebuild our country, rebuild our universities, rebuild our media, our businesses, our government, rebuild the news media so that it tells, and the church, so that the truth is the foundation, not lies and agenda. And take away the argument, oh, that can't be, that didn't happen. Let it be so obvious, Lord, that we can be in agreement, and from agreement rebuild our foundation. And we are grateful for Thanksgiving, for communion, Lord. We ask you to forgive us our sins and transgressions. Bring us cleansed into your sight. We ask that you bless this bread and this drink, representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that you take the positive foundation of yesterday, bridging it over throughout the holidays, so that we go through our Christmas and New Year on a stronger, better, more grateful foundation for all the things in our lives. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks for getting up out there, Joe.
Well, it was a struggle this morning.
It's freezing here. It's below zero. Not below zero. It's below freezing here today. And we had some snow fluffies yesterday. And I guess they're really getting hammered maybe up in the Chicago area. I don't know. I walked in the house last night after cleaning up. We had a family event here yesterday. And I said, now I remember why I hate winter. You might remember why you hate winter. You walk outside, it's 30 degrees and the wind's blowing. Lord, get me out of here. Get me out of here. Okay, so look, remember this. We're talking about reconstruction today. And I can't be more honest than to tell you, I don't have it figured out. I don't have it figured out. But I am smart enough to figure this out. There is great opposition to MAGA. Much of it legitimate. And MAGA, Donald Trump, whatever, is at the heart of the disagreement. And as I've said on here many times, I'm going to show you a couple things and I'll open it up. As I've said on here many, many, many times, I don't know whether Trump's good or bad. I know this. He's God's man. Betty, have I said that over and over and over and over or not?
Yes, sir.
He is God's man. Now, the question we have to decide is how do we play into this thing? This fact that Donald Trump miraculously has come back as president of the United States. Love him or hate him, doesn't matter. He's God's man. Hey, church. Church needs to recognize that more than anything. That God has given us maybe not what we want, but exactly what we need. And for church people, we don't like, I'm going somewhere, stay with me. We don't like him because he not only is he maybe not a Christian, but he sure as hell doesn't act like one. Would somebody give me a thumbs up? That's what bothers us, see. We want this, I'm okay, you're okay, Jesus loves everybody, Christian leader. That's what we want. And but that Lord says, that ain't what you need. You need a disruptor. I'm going to send a disruptor in there. And the disruption is blowing up everywhere we look. You have to have eyes to see it and understand what's going on. So I get emails all the time from people say, how can you support Trump? Over and over. How can you support that guy? I mean, and I can't believe how freaking stupid they are. He is God's man, for better or for worse. Hey, Spencer, Jonathan, Google that for me. Where does the Bible say that God picks up leaders? Does anybody know where that is? Huh? Does anybody know where that is off the top of your head? He raises them up, baby. He raises them up. And he gives us the type of leader. There it is. He gives us the type of leaders that we deserve. What's it say, Johnny? God chooses it, huh? Judges 2:16. Judges 2:16. And after the Lord got, the Lord chose judges to lead his people. These leaders rescued the Israelites from their enemies who were robbing them. But the people did not obey their leaders. They refused to serve the Lord faithfully. So instead, they worshiped false gods, and they did not live in the way that was their ancestors had lived. And the ancestors had obeyed the Lord's command, right? Come on. Our ancestors obeyed the Lord's command, but we refused to. And every time that the Lord chose a judge to lead them, the Lord helped the leader to rescue them from his enemies. While the leader was still alive, the Lord was kind to them. And when the Israelites called out the Lord for help, he was sorry for it. Anyway, okay, God raises up one, pulls it down. That wasn't the scripture. Looking for it, Johnny, not your fault. God picks our leaders, okay? Okay, and a lot of times it's judgment, it's discipline, whatever. But until we come to that realization, that's why it says pray for those in authority. Nobody rises to the position of authority without the amen of the Lord. Doesn't mean everybody is a good, godly man. No, it means it's God's man, whatever the circumstances might be. We okay on that? Cool with that? Lorraine's hand's about to bust. Go ahead, Lorraine.
Thanks, Coach. Good morning. You know, it can't be according to how the individual's perception is of what it's supposed to be. Look at David. If you look at David's life, who David became king after Saul, that guy was really messed up. He was into porn, live porn, watching, you know, Bathsheba, yeah. had his best friend killed because he got his wife pregnant. How many other chicks was he watching bathe? Look at what happened to his bloodline. That was quite crazy, you know, and we don't see Donald Trump, you know, in private. So when you're comparing them, and then you look at all the other leaders, I mean, look at all the guys that hung out with Jesus. They were a little bit, you know, ADHD, wonky, bipolar, whatever. Mm-hmm. They weren't all perfect. You know, so, you know, that's where our part comes in. And this is what I believe is we need to be, you know, backing this man in prayer, whether or not you like the guy or not. Just like Candace Owens, whether you like her or not, pray for her.
Amen.
You know, so pray. You know, keep your eye on the prize and in the hope of the calling of Jesus Christ. And that's all I got to say.
Okay, so let me take everybody back here a second. I'm 73, just turned 73. How about going back with me 30 years? Anybody out there want to go back with me 30 years? And I was 43 and didn't really serve the Lord. Or you go back 30 years. Didn't really serve the Lord. How many of you out there would want to expose everything that you did? 30 years ago. Right? Now, I want you to think about this. Imagine they go back 30 years ago. You go back 30 years ago and you're 43 years old. And you got billions of dollars. And you can buy your way out of this and you can buy your way out of that. If you had no restraints on you, and you don't have the Holy Spirit, do you have any idea what you're capable of? So when they come, when I hear people say Trump did this and Trump did, I believe it. I believe it. He was an unaccountable billionaire. I get it. How many of you, when people go back and pry in your life 20 years ago, some of the stupid crap that you did that you got away with, right? So I think we have to keep all that in perspective, right? Huh? And here's what I think Trump is a prick. And I think we need a prick. That's what I think. Kevin, come on up.
Well, I think it's even more than that. I mean, if you think about Trump, there's one thing you can't say about him. He's not pretentious, right? You're going to see what you're going to get with him.
That's right. He doesn't send little signals, does he? He's all in.
Exactly. And yep. It seems to me that you've got a lot of Christians who like to fall for very pretentious Republicans like, George W. Bush, Mike Pence. I mean, we can go right down the whole line.
Yeah.
We seem all polished and say all the right things. Oh, but you look into their history, they're not squeaky clean either, but they say all the right things, and they'll give them their vote and back them, and they're a real Christian. And all
so, Kevin, how many, how many people did George Bush and Dick Cheney cause to be killed?
Right, exactly. How much blood is on their hands? Absolutely.
And the Republican Party loved them, right? They loved them, right?
But he's saying all the right things, and he's having all the right stances, and it's very pretentious. So they're being led in by an image instead of substance. So,
So that's where I want to try to head here today, right? Because again, what was the theme? Any good students out there? What was the theme today? Come on, somebody tell me.
Reconstruction is harder than construction.
Reconstruction is harder than new construction. Dale, are you in here? Are there any builders in here that can amen that? Huh? You come in and you start a project and you look across the spectrum of what it's going to be. The first thing you have to do is figure out, well, you got to factor in all the money you're going to have to spend to get it fixed up first. Or you could be a used car dealer like Jeff Klein. And you go to the auction and you buy a car and say, oh my God, I got to put $5,000 in this thing before I can even sell it, right? So we're in a position right now where we are in the midst of reconstruction, and we don't even know what that looks like.
Hey, Coach, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's restoration. Have you ever gone into a building after a fire or a flood? Yeah. Right. You want to talk restoration?
That's right.
We're not talking about just putting on a room or redoing a bathroom. Going after a fire and a flood, and that's our nation. Rebuilding after fires and floods and finding dead bodies.
Amen.
In the buildings.
Amen. So Johnny threw up on the screen, they have set up kings, but not by me. They've made princes, and I knew it not. Of the silver and the gold have they made the idols, that they may cut them off. So we've elected non-Christian leaders. Huh? No. Okay, can I step on the landmine here? Is it okay if I step on the landmine here? Oh, Lord. Because here it comes. So I need, amen. Ray, give me another amen, because I got to know the two people going to support me when I get through saying this. All right? Does an unsaved person have the direction of the Holy Spirit? I want everybody to answer that. Does the unsaved person have the indwelling and direction of the Holy Spirit, an unsaved person?
No.
I would say no. In fact, when they got saved in the book of Acts, they said, we didn't even know. What are you talking about, Willis? We didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. We don't know what you're talking about, right? So should we expect an unsaved Joe Biden to go in and do godly things? Should we an unsaved Kamala Harris go in and do ungodly things, do godly things? Should we expect that? You'd say, you dumbass. What'd you expect? Are you sitting down? You think Israel's going to do righteous things? Unsaved Israel, are they going to do righteous things? Help me out, Ray. I feel the claws coming out.
No.
That's where a lot of mess. Okay, so here's where I want to go. Oh God, getting myself in trouble here. Oh my. Here's point number four. You understand the battle, folks. I told you this the other day. They're trying to destroy MAGA. Now, hang on. Somebody explain to me, from your perspective, not me, what is MAGA? What is MAGA supposed to be? Can somebody, anybody come in and tell me what's MAGA supposed to be? Go ahead. Who's up? Eileen, you got your hand up. Who's got their hand up? Somebody
tell me. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm on the wrong thing.
Okay.
Hang on. That's my fault. I'm on the wrong thing. Eileen. What's MAGA supposed to be?
First of all, MAGA, in my impression of what understanding, is a movement. It has nothing to do necessarily with the man, Donald Trump, but he lit the fire for traditional American Christian values.
Yes. America great again, right? Make America great again. And he has a perspective. MAGA has a perspective. Look, I consider myself MAGA. But MAGA isn't necessarily Donald Trump. You understand that, don't you? By the way, if they were to assassinate President Trump, would MAGA continue? Does it appear to anybody out there other than me that they're trying to run the clock out on Donald Trump? No. They're trying to run the clock out on MAGA. MAGA. make America great again. Hang on. Not make the Middle East great again. Not make Israel great again. Not make foreign policy great again. No, 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 no. Make America great again. And see, in order to make America great again, some other, what's the word I'm looking for? Some other things are going to have to fall. It's Reconstruction. Go ahead, Gino.
The two-party system has done exactly what the bankers organized it to do, to cause disagreements between the two parties.
That's right.
And the two-party system is not working, and MAGA had to come in to straighten people's minds out.
That's right. So as I said, folks, if you think MAGA is Republican, I don't know. I don't even know what to tell you. And the divide is they're trying to divide MAGA and the Republican Party. See, what they want to do now is they want to make sure that MAGA is separated. Anybody getting this but me? See, really, there's three parties, right? There's a Democrat Party, there's a Republican Party, and then there's MAGA. And so what they have to make sure that they do is they have to destroy MAGA. What is MAGA? It's Ray LeBlanc and Paul Gosselin and Gene Schroeder, Joe Carrico, who want to make America great again. I'm telling me, okay, can I tell you the truth? I don't want to make Israel great again. I hope they're great, but I want to make America great again, because we can't help foreign countries if we can't help ourselves. Y'all with me? But see, Christians get mad if you say, stop giving money to Israel. They get mad. Why would they get mad? Why would they get mad? Okay. So I got this up here at 6 minutes and 14 seconds. This is a good one. How did Mark Levin, you guys know who he is, right? And Tucker, how did they become enemies? Both on Fox News, both conservatives. What's going on? Can you put it at 1.5 speed? Hey, raise your hand out there if you want to make America great again. Raise your hand out there if you're tired of giving all of our money to foreign countries. Would you raise your hand out there? To me, that's MAGA. I don't care if it's Israel. I don't care if it's England. I don't care if it's Africa. I'm tired of giving our money to other countries. Tired of it. Okay? By the way, that's the heart of much of MAGA. But here's the division that's coming on now. And it's everywhere. I got three videos I could show you right now. They are dividing MAGA over. Somebody else say it other than me. What are they dividing MAGA over?
Israel.
Yes, because the Christians support Israel first. Benny, that's a boom. That's a boom. Christians have been brainwashed to support Israel first. That's the divide in MAGA.
Boom.
That's where this thing's going to... Look, I'm not taking a position on Israel. I'm not. But I'm telling you, that's the divide. And they're forcing that divide on purpose. Because why? Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. So the fight now, Mark Levin and Tucker, both at Fox News, now are enemies. Go ahead and play this.
I've been watching Mark Levin say things that no one in my lifetime has ever said from the right, like this. Watch.
I don't know whether it's Jew hatred from the Marxists, the Islamists, the neo-Nazis, the grifters. I don't know where they're pulling us and pushing us. What do they want to do with American Jews? What do they want to do? Where are they taking this country?
Stop a minute. It isn't about American Jews. Don't let them do that to you, folks. This whole thing isn't, we welcome Jews in MAGA. It ain't about Jews. It's not about Presbyterians and Lutherans and Baptists. This is a false divide. Nobody wants to punish the Jews in America. Stop it, Levin. Go ahead.
They're destroying it. Carlson, Owens, Kelly, Bannon. It is a time for choosing. You pick the good guys or the bad guys. You pick America, or you pick the third right. They're not MAGA. They're not conservative.
Reason. Do you understand how wicked that is? Do you understand how wicked that is? If you don't support giving money to Israel, you're a Nazi. You're Third Reich. Somebody give me a thumbs out there so I know I got a friend, because this is a touchy, touchy subject. But if we don't understand this is dividing MAGA, if you don't see that, you're missing the whole thing. The whole thing. Levin, name-calling, name calling people who've been in the trenches with him. And if I question giving continuous money, millions of dollars to Israel, I'm a Jew hater. I don't want him giving it to Germany. I don't want him giving it to Vietnam. I don't want him giving it to anybody. I want to make America great again, right? See how this game's played? Go ahead.
In fact, they're more Marxist, Islamist, America-hating, Jew-hating thugs than anything else. And let me educate them briefly. The Babylonians couldn't kill the Jews. The Persians couldn't kill the Jews. The Romans couldn't kill the Jews. Hitler couldn't kill the Jews, and by this I mean eliminate them. You think your puny little asses are going to be able to do it?
Kill the Jews?
Who's killing Jews? Where is this coming from? See, folks, this is brainwashing at its finest. Go ahead.
Your first thought is, wait a second, how do we get to that? No, just don't want a regime change war against Russia. By the way, a war in which Jews would die, presumably, both in the U.S. military and the IDF. Like, no, don't want to kill anybody.
Slow down, Spence. It's important. Or Jonathan. I'm sorry, it's too fast.
Point. You want to kill the Jews? So the first thing you notice is like the total inversion of what the argument actually is. It's an argument about to what extent should U.S. military power be used on behalf of another country, not the United States. That's it. That's the debate. And all of a sudden it becomes the Babylonians, the Nazis trying to kill the Jews. So, again, it's an inversion. He's accusing his opponents of really what he wants, as always. The second thing you notice is how totally personal this is. You're members of the Third Reich. You're Nazis. You're evil. You're an Islamist. You hate Jews. You're an anti-Semite. You hate America. Okay. That's ad hominem. There's no even attempt to address the argument that anyone Mark Levin doesn't agree with is making. Instead, it's just attacking them as people. And the third thing you notice is what animates this, which is hate. Mark Levin is filled with hate, obviously. And hate is one of those words that is thrown around a lot as a weapon. You're filled with hate. That's hate. It's hate speech. Therefore, you can't say it, etc. But that doesn't mean just because the word itself is used cynically that the term doesn't describe anything or that hate isn't real. Hate is absolutely real. Hate is absolutely real. And if you listen to enough Mark Levin, you yourself can become hateful. Reacting against it can turn you into what he claims you are. And that's just a fact of human nature. You stick your face right up against this, after a while, you will become hateful. All of us, even people who are committed to not being the way. It happened to me a week ago tonight. I'm sitting on stage with Megyn Kelly at an event she was doing in New York. And I think Dick Cheney had died that day. And I knew Dick Cheney, obviously, and he had died. And I disagree with Dick Cheney, but I'm not going to criticize a man on the day he dies. Just not going to do that because I have reverence for death. But I had a lot of emotion on the topic. And so I said a few nice words about Dick Cheney. He was a great flycaster or whatever. And then I started thinking about his daughter, Liz Cheney, whom I also know and have disliked intensely for quite some time because she slandered me and because I think she is a violence espouser. And I disagree with that and I have contempt for it. But rather than say that, I just attacked in a vicious way Liz Cheney. And I said something awful about Liz Cheney, actually. Didn't explain why I was mad at Liz Cheney. I just slandered Liz Cheney, basically. And I said that her father would be ashamed of her. And if I had a daughter like that, I'd probably kill myself, which is an awful thing to say. It's kind of hard to believe I said that.
Okay, but good. You watch the rest of it, okay? You watch the rest of it. Point being, does anybody out there hate the Jews? Paul, do you hate the Jews? Gina, you hate the Jews? See, that's the weapon that they use. Anything that you are against, you hate. Oh, you hate homosexuals. Oh, you hate transgenderism. Oh, you hate Michigan. Damn right I do. Right? And so therefore, when they cloud a clear opinion about a situation, you're a hater. Oh, you hate blacks, do you? You hate blacks? Oh, you hate Lutherans? You hate Catholics? What? Friends, if we don't understand how they're programming us, and they're doing everything they can to divide and conquer MAGA over this issue. Do you think, just question, are we a Christian country? Well, we were. we were. Is the American government Christian? No, no. So we're not supporting Israel out of Christianity, are we? Why are we sending so much of our money over there? That's the only question. Look around us. Make America great again. If we make America great again, maybe we can make the world great again. But we can't make America great again when we're trying to make somebody else great. And that's where I see we are. Come on in, James Thomas. Now, am I an anti-Semite Jew hater? Because that's what they'll say, and then I'm not allowed to have an opinion anymore. James Thomas, come on in. If you guys think I hate Jews, why are you watching this? I don't even know any. Really? James, come on in. I hate guys from Michigan. I don't know them, but I hate them.
Happy Thanksgiving, brother. We hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I guess you have to ask a lot of questions. Is why now? Why? You know, Satan has been doing this a really long time. He's a good Democrat or he's a good governor. He uses both parties to destroy each other. This is what he does.
Yes,
you know, if you read what, I mean, you have to have why now. When something comes up as big as what we're discussing, you say, why now? Why is this taking place at this time? I look at things, you know, I don't say that you hate Jews or if you disagree with Israel has no influence necessarily on my Christian walk. It's an existence. What God does with Israel, what God does, that's his business. He will work all this stuff out.
That's right.
But that being said, if you go to, you know, Satan, if you go to Revelation chapter 12 and you see what the Bible's, the word says, God says to John about the dragon, the woman who gave birth to the son. This is kind of where we kind of are circling around right now. The dragon has always hated the Jewish people. He has. It's been because he gave us, you know, the woman, the Messiah, and he hates with a passion the Messiah, and he hates the children of the Messiah. That's us. So this is kind of say this is the why now moment, and I think we're winding down this thing, this 250-year experiment called the United States Constitution, which we don't live under anymore. Right. So this is why we are here where we are. Satan is having a field day in the United States, and he wants this country destroyed.
So we want to make America great again, but we don't even know what that means, James. That's really the truth. Blessings. Gino.
I just want to come in. You know, when you get on a plane, what's the first thing the stewardess tell you? If you lose oxygen within the plane, those masks are going to come down, but you secure yourself first. Before you help the person beside you.
That's right. That's right. And so, folks, you know, we have our own financial problems here too, right? Why the hell aren't we taking care of America first? Come on now. We have starving people in the streets. Why are we sending money to Israel when we could be giving it? That's what America first is. Let's take care of our own selves first. How's that racist, bigoted, anti-Semitic that I say quit giving money to them and let's give it to our own people? How's that anti-Semitic other than we've been brainwashed? Ray, come on in.
Yeah, I just came across this recently. See that link, Jonathan, that just put in? I was wondering if you could click on that. It would bring up a statue that's in Plymouth, Massachusetts, which if anybody hasn't seen this, it's well worth the watch. This is a statue that was established to show how our country became great.
Yeah.
Make America great again. This statue right here, she is pointing up to heaven.
Go ahead.
Well, she's pointing up to heaven saying, God's
liberty. Statue.
She's got the Bible in her hand. She's got all around her morality, the law, justice, mercy, all of the this depicts what the Bible is telling us. This is how our country was founded. And it's well worth the watch to see this statue. I lived in Massachusetts all my grown up years. I never even knew that existed. But that's a heritage of our country right there. That's what made America great again.
Ray, let me ask a question here. Folks, I want to just try and get you to think. Okay. Are unsaved Muslims going to heaven? No. Are unsaved white people going to heaven? Are unsaved Chinese going to heaven? No. Are unsaved Buddhists going to heaven? No. Are unsaved atheists going to heaven? No. Are unsaved Shintos going to heaven? No. Are unsaved, I'm running out of black people. Are unsaved blacks going to, are unsaved Jews going to heaven? Folks, don't you see? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He said that. I didn't say that. And whether we want to be honest about it or not, Israel has rejected the Messiah. Can individual Jews be saved? Absolutely. And we should do all we can to help unsaved Jews be saved. But this idea that they have a special, they're going to be excluded from the salvation message, that they don't have to be saved. And people will say, well, Coach, end time eschatology says they are all going to be saved. Okay, well, then why do we have to give them the money then? If they're going to be saved anyway, why do we have to give them a bunch of money? Isn't that God's responsibility? See, here's the only thing. Boy, some of you are mad. I can feel it. Logic goes out the window. When we start talking about some of this stuff, this brainwashed stuff, logic goes out the window. Is Mark Levin going to heaven? What do you think, Ray? Mark Levin going to heaven?
No unsaved.
Not unsaved, he didn't. No. So is God a Jew hater? No. There's one way. God loved the Jews so much, he sent his son. His own boy. Sent his own boy, they'd be saved. And they reject him. And we're okay with them rejecting him. Oh, I'm making enemies. Randy, come save me, Randy.
Coach, we have to get it.
I'm just trying to get you to think, folks. I'm just trying to get you to think without being programmed. Go ahead, Randy.
Unity doesn't happen on its own. Look, we have to get a right perspective on this, Coach. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Randy, this issue is not going away, folks.
No,
this issue is not going away.
Yeah, we need to talk. Okay, we need to talk about this. We need to get God's perspective. Coach, this God divides. I'm sorry, people want unity. It doesn't just happen. God divides. God divided the night and the day. God divided his people out of Egypt. God, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God divides between the soul and the spirit. Look, God loves division. But you know what division does, Coach? It breaks off the evil away from the good. It breaks off the darkness off in the light and the darkness. There has to be a unity, but it can't be a unity of light and darkness. We have to, the MAGA movement has been infiltrated. Okay. Our country is a sovereign nation, a providential sovereign nation, but it's not being run like one. It's not owned because we don't own it. So what is God doing, Coach? He's trying to redefine our nation. He's trying to bring us, the nation, back under the kingdom of God. You can't do that with unrighteousness. You have to divide unrighteousness and make a distinction so that we know. And you can't be propping up people that aren't part of MAGA. So what's happening? God is dividing. He is showing you what's MAGA and what isn't. And you have to divide. We can reunite, but you know what? You know what our unity is, Coach? It's Ephesians 4:3. Paul says to endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit. Look, not everybody's of the spirit. I'm sorry. Everybody loves God. Not everybody wants the covenant nation of America back under God's lordship. Okay.
Randy, he even said that not even. Randy, he said not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. He even separated Christians, people who say Jesus is their Savior. He said, no, you aren't all one of mine. He said that about believers. Serious stuff,
but it
man.
Says, Coach, to finish. Let me finish. It says the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What is peace, Coach? Peace is the kingdom of God. Peace is righteousness, peace, and joy. It's the Prince of Peace. You can't have peace outside of that. And anybody that's trying to establish America without Christ, without Jesus as Lord, and the kingdom of God as the main center, I'm sorry, they're in a different world. They're doing a different act.
Amen. Look, folks, good question for you here. How many of you come from a family lineage? We had a bunch of them here yesterday. It's awesome. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you had an unsaved father or an unsaved mother? And how many of you, despite that, got saved? Then how many of you got saved and then raised unsaved children? Folks, this don't go down through the bloodline. This Christian thing don't go down through the bloodline. Sorry. I have a lot of unsaved family members. They're all Dobbenmeyers, whatever you want to call them. Well, I'm telling you, they ain't all going into the kingdom because they're Dobbenmeyers and their daddy's saved. It's an individual issue. And we've granted, what's the word of mercy? Well, God didn't grant mercy. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father unless they go through me. And that entire nation, well, I shouldn't say that, the government of that country rejects the Messiah. Is that anti-Semitic? Can't you guys think? Can't you guys use logic? Can the individual Jew be saved? Of course. How about me, the individual Melungeon? I got saved. It's personal, man. Ain't bloodline. P.S., come on in there quickly, man. We've got about 3 minutes left here.
I have a Catholic father, or that's all he really knows of God. I've been on this journey of faith, and, you know, just amazing what God's done with me. Try to forgive him. Couple of years ago, he holds it as a grudge, and now he pretty much disowned me. I said, Dad, I just want to create peace, so I forgive you, you know. Not good enough, you know. So unbelievable.
Well, that's because personal offense, right? Personal. I see it in here. Some people will be so mad because of what I talked about here today. Ray, they'll call me an anti-Semite. The hell is that? Name callers? What are you talking about? First of all, well, that's a whole nother show. You don't even know what a Semite is. We're just programmed monkeys. We're just programmed Christian monkeys. I'm America first. James, you guys still got your hand up. You want back in?
I just think, you know, it's kind of immature for people to get offended by one another. By stupid stuff, you know what I'm saying? That's absolutely nothing to do with our walk with Messiah. So I love you, James.
Hey, James, am I in trouble with the Lord because I want America first? Am I in trouble with the Lord for that? Am I going to stand before the Lord and he says, get that going, Coach Dave. I was going to let you in, but you didn't support Israel. Folks, come on.
I don't think Messiah kind of looks at it that way. I don't. I know what he is, what he purposes in his heart. What has been planned from the beginning of the foundation of the world will happen, regardless of what we believe. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so here it is. At the end of the day, you either receive Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or you don't. Jesus said, "There's only one way. There's only one way to heaven. It's one way. You got to go through the Father." Except there's an exception here. And God bless them. Pray for the Jews. Pray for Israel. But I'm going to make America great again. See you tomorrow. No, I won't see you tomorrow. See you on Monday.